The scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, the verses 10 to the end of the chapter. It's on page 1245 in our Pew Bible. And we're also going to look at Matthew 6, verse 13, which is the petition, the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the church's explanation of the Lord's Prayer, says, what is the sixth petition? And the answer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak that we cannot stand by ourselves for one moment, and besides, since our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sin, ceaselessly assail us, be pleased to preserve and strengthen us through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may stand firm against them and not be defeated in this spiritual warfare, until at last we obtain complete victory. Listen to the word of God from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So far the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this great truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will strengthen us. Give us the words to say, that we may speak as you would have us speak, and that we may listen as you would have us listen. Forgive our sins, O Lord, and lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, what that old elder said to me at West Leonard Church when I made profession of faith was very true. Very, very true. You know, in profession of faith, we become a living member of the body of Christ. We are a member also by baptism, of course, but when we make profession of faith, then we are an official confessing member of the church. And that old elder said to me, you know, he said, really the battle is just beginning. We are in a battle for the Lord. And that is a very true statement. That elderly man who had gone through his life, he was a wonderful elder and a wonderful role model. And he said, we've got to realize that we're in a battle for the Lord. And I remember Dr. Greenway was our teacher at Grand Rapids Christian High, and he taught us to sing, and he would lead chapel regularly, and a song which we often sang was this song: "Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word." That was a song we would sing in chapel. It was a song that we enjoyed singing, and we were well aware that we were in a battle for the Lord. And of course, when you're a young person in high school, in college, and you're a young person, there are different issues than that old elder had to face. He had to face them too. But as a young person, you're facing different ones. You're facing situations that are geared to the youth. You know, Satan knows how to deal with his people. Satan knows. Satan has been described in the Bible in various ways as an angel of light. And Satan is called a roaring lion who seeks to devour his prey. Satan is an enemy. He's our arch enemy. When our Lord Jesus came into this earth, He immediately confronted the devil, even as an infant. He confronted him through Herod, who wanted him killed. And the Lord brought the baby Jesus into Egypt to protect his son. And Egypt was used to protect Jesus just as it protected Israel years earlier. Jesus encountered the devil in various ways all through his life. And you find again and again and again that where Jesus went, there would be people possessed of the demons. And Jesus was always conscious that he was in a battle for the Lord. And he said to his disciples, "You've got to go out in the strength of the Lord." And that's why he taught us to pray too: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because this is an issue that doesn't go away. Now, last week we saw that beautiful petition, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In that petition, we saw Jesus as the heavenly high priest who shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sins. And that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It's a great, great truth. But when we are forgiven of our sins, we are justified. That is, by faith, we lay hold upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, and God looks on us as if we hadn't sinned at all. But we are still in the world. Sin is not only guilt that is forgiven, but it's also a dominion, a power that we must struggle against all our life long. And that is what sanctification is all about. So in "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors" is justification, that we are declared not guilty before the Lord. By faith we are His children. But then we go into the world of into the area of sanctification. in which the Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ to our hearts, and we fight against sin as a power, as a dominion, which deals with our thoughts, words, deeds. And we are constantly to fight against the devil in every form. And so, in this petition, we're dealing with the work of sanctification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. So let's look at, that's the context. The context is that it's the sixth petition following the fifth. It's sanctification following justification. And so in the dealing with this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we have to recognize, as the Catechism says, that since we are so weak that we cannot stand by ourselves for one moment, and besides our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, our own sin, ceaselessly assail us. So that's, we're in a conflict. We're in a battle for the Lord. And it's a battle that is a constant battle. Now, it is not just a personal battle. We are in an army. Now, those who are serving our country in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they are, they're not in a personal battle against the enemy. They are part of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard of the United States of America. So they represent the whole country. And so it's not a personal battle. It's a battle of the whole country. And as they fight out there, they can be assured that all the people of the country are behind them. It's a great thing. In the Old Testament, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was called to go against the enemy. And the prophet said to him in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, he says to Jehoshaphat, he says to him, "Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great battle, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, behold, they will come up in the ascent of Ziz, you will fight them at the end of the valley. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, and the Lord will be with you." You see, that is a wonderful thing, that we are in the battle for the Lord. David was very conscious of that when he went up against Goliath. And he said, "You come to me with sword and stave and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose armies you have defied." So David was well aware that it wasn't just a personal war between him and Goliath. He was representing the Lord himself. He was representing the whole army of Israel. He was representing the kingdom of God. You see, the battle is between two kingdoms. It's between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And we're in the battle for the Lord. And that's why we can be confident of victory. Because Jesus entered that battle before we did. He entered into that battle and he won that battle. In Luke chapter 10, you read of Jesus sending out the 70. The 70 followers of his. 70, they were not his 12 disciples, but they were 70 disciples who he sent out two by two. And he said, go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick, drive out demons, and I'll be with you. And they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us. And Jesus said this, and I saw Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Jesus won that victory. He was tempted, of course, and tempted in the wilderness by the devil. But each time Jesus answered that temptation with a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and said, it is written. And Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and he conquered those temptations by the power of the Word of God. And that's our strength too. We can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And Paul says here in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil's schemes. He is our chief enemy. The devil seeks to undermine the cause of the Lord in every way he can. In the church, he seeks to undermine it by undermining the authority of the Bible. And when that happens, when the authority of the Word of God is compromised, the power that the child of God has is diminished. We've got to have full confidence in the Bible. Like that great song the children sing, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. And like we sing, take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. That's our strength. Our strength is in the Lord. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's the Lord's battle. He will hold us in his hands. Oh, the Psalms are full of this. The Old and the New Testament is. Remember how Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, I cannot do this evil and sin against my God. He was fully aware that the Lord saw him, even though none of his family was around. Nevertheless, it was the Lord that was with him and made him strong. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. He will keep us in the shelter of his hand. And then he says in Psalm 91, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, you will trample under feet. Because I have set my love upon you, I will deliver you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your habitation and the Most High your dwelling place. He is our strength. He is our song. He is our pattern of strength. And so Jesus teaches us, lead us not into temptation, because the Lord Jesus is in charge of your life and my life. He's in charge. And he taught us to pray this. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? The Lord doesn't tempt anybody. That's what James tells us clearly in chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted of the Lord, because the Lord will not tempt anybody into sin. The Lord Lord hates sin with his entire being. And so he does not do that. So what are we praying? Lead us not into temptation. The older translation says, bring us not into temptation. And it means this, Lord, do not lead me into any situation where my own weakness and the strength of our enemy, the devil, that I might succumb to the temptation that's before me. Do not put me in that situation. Keep me out of that situation. Do not lead me into that. And the Lord will answer our prayer. He's taught us to pray this, and he will answer that prayer. Remember how Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation comes to you but that which is common to man. So in other words, we are not tempted above what other people are. We're all tempted. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to stand. And he will, with the temptation, give you a way to escape, that you may bear up under it. He's in charge of that. He gives you a way to escape. That's what it means. Lead me not into temptation. Give me a way to escape. Let me not fall into the trap laid for me by Satan and his hosts. Because we have three sworn enemies. The Bible teaches us clearly three sworn enemies. Satan, who's the head of the whole business, and the world, and our own flesh, our own sinful nature. Satan is behind it all. And we've got to fight against him, and we find victory in Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that has already overcome. What a great comfort it must have been for those 70 when they came back and heard Jesus say, I saw Satan as lightning falling from heaven. He gives us victory. But we also have the world to contend with. The motto of our church this 125th anniversary is, seek the welfare of the city. Seek the welfare of the city and of the country and of your families. Now there is an attempt to bring down the cause of Jesus Christ in our community, in the city, in the country. You see that in every kind of way. A threat to bring down the cause of the kingdom of God by undermining the law of God. Somehow there's a prejudice against the law of God. Somehow there's a desire in some churches never to hear the law of God. They never hear the Ten Commandments. Why? Because, well, it's uncomfortable. It's negative. We don't want anything negative. I don't want to hear any of the negatives. I don't want to hear anything of do not. I only want to hear good news. I only want to hear positive news. Don't give me any of that negative stuff. So they don't want the laws. They don't want thou shalt nots. That's negative. They don't want that. Well, what about that? We don't think that way about physical things. We want to know when there's an issue. We want to know when there's something wrong. So you go to the doctor and they put you through tests. Why? In order to find what's wrong. Why do they want to find that? Because it's only when they know what's wrong that they can prescribe what will heal you. Well, the same is true in our spiritual life. We first got to find out what's wrong before we can find the solution. You got to first find the problem before you find the solution. And we've got a problem in this world because there's a force in this world that is bent on destroying our faith, our hearts, our life, the cause of Christ. It's just bent on it. And so we've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life to which we are called. Is that a positive view? Of course it is. Victory in Jesus. We have victory. But this Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. That's the solution. You see, our enemy is Satan, the world, and our own flesh. Our own old nature. Our own sinful nature. You see, when we make a profession of our faith and become members of the kingdom of God, become citizens of His kingdom, that doesn't mean that our sinful nature is gone. That we have no more struggle. No more struggle against sin. The sinful nature doesn't die that easy. The sinful nature is there and we got to fight against it. Our own flesh. Our own flesh. Our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. They are like the receivers. They are like the antenna or the aerial or the antenna of a TV set. This is how we get, that's how Satan's threats and temptations get to us. They get to us through our sinful thoughts and words and deeds. And when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're saying, Lord, help us to fight against our own flesh, our own thoughts, words, and deeds. The lusts of the flesh. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians and in Colossians, he's very specific on what this is all about. He says in Ephesians 5, he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How positive is that? And then he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper for saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral and impure. Now isn't that relevant to today? You cannot turn television on, or you cannot see DVDs or videos or the theater without being confronted with that which is sexually immoral and impure. Let it not once be named among you. Those who follow that have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. And let no one deceive you by empty words, because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How relevant is that? Paul was well aware of it. Paul knew that he was forgiven. And he said, the good that I want to do, I don't do, but I want to do it, but I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the power of this evil? And then he said, I thank my God in Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, therefore, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Jesus keeps us safe. That's what that old elder was telling me at Westleonard when I made profession of faith. He said, Christ will hold you in his grip. He will hold you fast so that you will not fall into temptation. Make friends of those who love the Lord. Do not have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. And so we pray for the welfare of the city, the welfare of our country, the welfare of our homes. It must stand firm upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, remember, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have conflict. You will have stress. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so the Lord says in the second part of this beautiful petition, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. There's victory in Jesus. A wonderful victory. Because he arose from the grave. When Jesus hung on the cross, Satan probably thought, I've got him. I've got him. But then Jesus cried out, it is finished. The battle has been won. And he was buried. And the third day he arose again. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty conqueror. Or his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. It's his resurrection that we have an anchor for our faith, an anchor. And so we live in the power of the Lord. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against all the wiles of the wicked one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this world. So he gives us all of the equipment, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith by which you can quench the fiery darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation to keep our minds straight, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and each piece put on with prayer. So ours is the victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ. And that's why I love that song, Sound the Battle Cry, See the Foe is Nigh, Raise the Standard High for the Lord. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word of long. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. And everyone said, Amen. Our Father in heaven, Thank you for the victory we have in Jesus, that we can stand firm on the truth, that the Word of God is our great sword of the Spirit. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. And so bless us this day, dear Lord. May we be filled with the Spirit. Forgive our sins and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.